You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And a very happy Tuesday to you. Welcome into the Locked On Kings podcast. Can you believe it is April 30th? April is over. May is here. Time is flying by, and we are already 3 weeks into the Sacramento Kings offseason. And if you're looking for offseason coverage, you are in the right place. This is the Locked On Kings podcast, your daily hub for Sacramento Kings coverage. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with all the local and national experts, this is the place for you. All offseason long, we do not slow the coverage down or stop the coverage whatsoever. It goes through the draft lottery, even though the Kings draft lottery pick is currently going to the Boston Celtics, most likely. There's the NBA draft itself. We know the Kings have a boatload of second rounders. Could they potentially be trying to move into the first round? Who knows what the Kings are going to try and do? Free agency might be huge this year. We have the California Classic coming back to Sacramento in July. Summer League right after that. Then training camp, the start of the regular season, and we have it all for you right here on Locked On Kings. I have the privilege of being your host. I'm Matt George. I'm from Sports 1140 KHDK. That's the flagship radio station of the Kings in Sacramento. I work there as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist and reporter. And I have an incredible opportunity to interact with some of my heroes that I had growing up. Now, a little bit about me. I grew up a diehard fan of the Sacramento Kings. My first game I went to was back in the Arco Arena. It was Kings versus Los Angeles Clippers. I was 6 years old, and that was just at the start when the Kings had just gotten Jason Williams, and it was just at the start of the glory years. So I was spoiled growing up. I grew up with the greatest show on court, and then I went through all of the tough years that all of us have been through together. And about 4 or 5 years ago, I transitioned into a career of sports radio and sports journalism covering the Sacramento Kings. And that has allowed me to be able to host a podcast like this for all you fine people. And that's allowed me to be able to watch games, interact with players, interact with media members and personalities and people that I've listened to and watched growing up since I can remember. And one of those guys is the G-Man Gary Gerald, who has been here forever with the Sacramento Kings. He is beloved around the NBA, but especially here in Sactown, the legendary radio broadcaster of the Kings. And you've heard him a couple of times here on the Locked On Kings podcast. You heard all of his calls, 14 of his best calls from this season on Friday's episode of Locked On Kings last week. And I was so thrilled to be able to get him on for this podcast today to talk about just this season as a whole, how successful it has been, how much fun it has been, and I always enjoy talking to him. I love spending the time with the G-Man, so I really hope that you will enjoy this conversation I'm about to play for you that I had with him here just a few minutes ago. Before we get to that, though, I want to let you know that hiring is challenging, but there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart, a place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. That place is ZipRecruiter.com/lockedon. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates, so you'll never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. Right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/lockedon. That's ZipRecruiter.com/LOCKEDON. ZipRecruiter.com/lockedon. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. I always get a little extra excited when I get to speak to my next guest here on the Locked On Kings podcast. He is the legendary radio voice of the Sacramento Kings, former TV voice many, many years ago. He has been calling Kings games since they arrived here in Sacramento. One of my favorite guys to talk to and someone that I consider to be a little bit of a mentor in this industry is the G-Man Gary Gerald, back on the Locked On Kings podcast. G-Man, hope you're enjoying your offseason so far. Thank you so much for taking the time. Welcome back.
Finding getting used to a reduced schedule is a good thing. Getting a chance to watch a lot of playoff basketball, and even though it doesn't involve the Kings, of course, it's very entertaining.
G-Man, I appreciate you tweeting out last week's episode on Friday. I put together a compilation of some of my favorite moments, and it was 14 moments from this great season. I had about 25 that I wanted to put in, and I had to cut it down to 14 for time purposes, and I played all of your calls of those moments, and it was a healthy reminder for me just how fun this last season was for the Sacramento Kings. Would I be going too far in saying one of your favorite years ever to call? Certainly one of your most favorite in recent memory.
Well, yeah, over the last, 13 years, there hasn't been an awful lot in terms of sustained fulfillment or enjoyment or excitement for Sacramento Kings fans. And certainly it has been a fun year, and it was a year of rejuvenation. I think not only on my part, but for all those who follow Sacramento Kings basketball. So I enjoyed, you know, having a moment to listen to that particular Locked On Kings podcast and kind of reliving some of those highlights. And it was a good reminder that a lot of progress has been made. And certainly we all know there's a lot of work yet to be done in a very competitive and difficult Western Conference. But for the first time, I think in the last decade plus, Matt, I think that people are legitimately believing that the Kings are, in fact, building a solid foundation. And when you look at that, you know, the core group of youngsters, Fox Hill, Bogdanovich, Bagley, Giles, et cetera, it's very encouraging and about time.
Was there any part of you that somewhat felt this coming at the start of the year? I know there was a mixture of optimism and pessimism, confusion with the Kings taking Marvin Bagley, maybe over Luka Doncic, the rejuvenation that was brought in by the California Classic and how much fun that was last summer. But starting this season, there were mixed expectations, but there felt like some kind of element of hope. Would you say that you echoed that as well? You felt that as well? Or were you kind of caught off guard like everybody else was by this team's hot start?
Well, I would say that at the start of any season, there's always an abundance of optimism, and there is certainly hope. And so many times after your hopes have been dashed relatively early in a season, it's difficult to really feel, you know, optimistic and feel like, okay, we're loaded for bear, and this year is going to bear a lot of fruit, and this is, you know, we're really going to be exciting. I love what I do, and I look forward to it in each and every season. And each and every season presents different types of challenges. But as I said, when you've been kind of beaten down over the last decade plus, you start to wonder, are we ever going to be able to really, in fact, you know, genuinely make progress and feel like we're competitive every time we take the floor and that we've got a good, legitimate chance to win? And certainly at the start of the year, I think that anybody looked at the schedule, you looked at the talent, you looked at the question marks, and you're saying, well, I guess I understand why Las Vegas says the over-under on wins for Kings in this season is going to be between 25 and 26. And that's a desperately low number. And nobody wants to feel like you're beaten before you even start the game. So I liked the way the team responded to Dave Yeager and his coaching staff. I love the fact that they changed their identity almost overnight. And it was a huge turn from the slow-down, deliberate, post-up type game that featured a Zach Randolph, before that DeMarcus Cousins, to now one of pure speed and pushing the pace relentlessly. It made a huge difference in terms of how entertaining the game became for all of us. And I just thought, wow, that was an amazing transformation in a relatively short period of time. Now, as the season progressed, of course, other teams quickly take notice of, you know, limited success and the fact that the Kings have changed the game dramatically, and they start to take steps and find ways to try to slow the pace down and, you know, to make it more difficult for the Kings. That's what any good professional team would do. And I just thought it was a fascinating process to see it happen and to see it happen so quickly. And I loved it. And I think that most Kings fans certainly enjoyed it. And I know that from my own personal standpoint, wherever in my limited realm of where I travel and where I go, be it with the Kings around the country on road games or here in Northern California, if you're at the grocery store, you're at the barbershop, you're at the workout facility, so many more people wanted to talk about Kings basketball than any time in recent memory. Huge progress for the organization, in my mind.
Expectations are a funny thing, G-Man, because we were coming into the year thinking, okay, just establish an identity, right? Let this young core show that they have enough to show that you have something here in Sacramento. And that transitioned into maybe fans and myself included, we got a little greedy towards the end of the year, looking at the potential 40-win mark, looking at the playoff race. And then we suffered a disappointment that we haven't suffered for a long time, which is being the bubble team, being on the outside looking in by one spot in the playoffs. But in your experience, in all your years in the NBA, teams that suffer that, and you can point to the Denver Nuggets last season, going through that disappointment only helps to fuel the fire to get you to that next step. Would you say that's accurate?
Absolutely. I mean, there's no question about it. And it is, you know, the term process is kind of loosely thrown around in professional sports in this day and age. But it is, in fact, a process. And you must learn how to deal with those situations. And I thought that the Kings coaching staff had a very realistic grip on just that, and knowing, you know, stressing, you've got to be patient. This doesn't happen, with very rare exceptions, overnight. And so you pay your dues in that sense. And we mentioned how tough the conference is, but to be there, to be close and in that number nine spot and flirting with the possibility of getting into the top eight in the Western Conference, it was exhilarating. Now, down the stretch of the season, was it disappointing? Yes. Expectations had certainly been heightened. But the coaching staff was quick to point out, over the last 2 or 3 weeks of the season, the Kings were not playing the same basketball, effective basketball, that they were earlier in the year. They were struggling for a variety of reasons. And it did take a bit of a toll. But yes, you get a taste of success, and we always want more. And that's part of that legitimate process in my mind. Now, what will be interesting this next year, you're going to have a new coaching staff. You're going to have the same core of talent. We don't know what will happen in the summer months in terms of some of the positions that may be enhanced. Some of the personnel that now may be with the team may not be with the team when we go to training camp in September. So it'll be interesting to see how that particular facet plays out. But it's certainly now, you know, when you've taken this kind of a step and you've established an identity, you're playing entertaining basketball, you're having some success, now people want more success. But I always caution, and I try to be a realist about this, Matt, other teams that don't make the playoffs are also doing everything within their power to take that next big step. And it will be very, very difficult once again next year. But the Kings should be there knocking on the door, because they've shown that with this young core of talent, they're growing. They do, in fact, have competitive talent. And I think, you know, there's no reason to not think that they shouldn't be there and ready to go once again.
One of the things that you brought up that I absolutely appreciate is Coach Dave Yeager and his coaching staff's transparency. And you brought up how they've been telling you to be so cautious and take your time and be patient with the entire process. And he's been preaching that to fans just as much as he's been preaching that to his own players. But another one of the things that he kept mentioning, and Dave Yeager kept mentioning all season long, was that he was trying to teach these young players how to play a full 82-game season, which is something that I don't think fans paid enough attention to or appreciated enough, especially with the pace of play that the Kings play at. Do you think it's possible, with how fast they were playing to start this year, is that possible to stretch that and play that consistently fast and that high of a pace for an entire 82-game season? Because it's fair to say that the young guns, De'Aaron Fox, Marvin Bagley, everybody down the stretch, they just look tired and winded after a long season.
Well, and that again is part of that process. I think it's attainable. I think it's doable. Certainly, does it take a lot of extra effort in terms of conditioning and learning how to, you know, to pace the game according to your body's demands? That's a challenge. There's no question about it. And who knows if that was one of the reasons why the Kings struggled down the stretch? But it may have been. I think De'Aaron Fox in particular took a great deal of pride this season in playing, and I believe it was 81 of the 82 games.
Right.
And that's, you know, I look at that spindly little body and I'm thinking, man, and the amount of punishment that he takes over the course of a season is something that I don't know if, you know, the casual basketball fan begins to really appreciate. But, you know, we see him on a nightly basis you know, getting knocked off screens and bounced around and so much contact, a lot of it not getting called. And he took a lot of punishment, and he played a lot of games when he was far from 100% over the course of the year. I give him a tremendous amount of credit for doing that. But you know that now he's got a couple of seasons in his memory bank, and he's got something to draw on and how he addresses, you know, the upcoming season and the new wrinkles that he'll try to add to his game and certain facets that he'll try to take further advantage of. Getting to the free throw line, that's a huge thing for De'Aaron Fox and for the Kings. And, it's just, again, it's part of that whole deal where you learn and then you try to benefit from what you have learned.
You brought up De'Aaron Fox and the fact that he spent so much time just being bounced around and on the floor. I called him this year's Gerald Wallace for the Sacramento Kings. He just spent so much time on the floor, and you were constantly clenching up or concerned that making sure that he would be able to get back up. We know how important he is to the Kings' future, but you talked about him getting to the free throw line, G-Man. Is that something that he needs to work on more this summer, is learning how to draw that contact and get to the foul line, or is it really a reputation thing now that he's going into his third year in the league? He's going to start getting some of these calls?
I think it's a combination of both. It's certainly important, I think, for any team to have success from the free throw line. There's no easier way to score in the game than to get to the free throw line and get that, you know, you get a 15-foot attempt that's uncontested. And so you've got to take advantage of that. And that's something, that's an area where the Kings have really struggled. They've had a hard time getting to the line, and then they've had a hard time being consistent in knocking down those free throws. And that's why they're called free throws for a purpose. And the Kings, you know, shooting 72% over a course of a season at the stripe in today's NBA, it doesn't get it. I mean, you've got to be 77, 78% in my mind, almost bare minimum, if you want to be considered a successful team. So that's one of the areas of growth that I think the Kings certainly will want to address. I think that Luke Walton and his staff will want to address how can we be more effective getting to the line on a consistent basis and then converting those free throws on a consistent basis.
Last week on the Locked On Kings podcast, I gave away my regular season awards for the Sacramento Kings, the MVP of the Kings, the Sixth Man of the Year for the Kings, et cetera, et cetera. And I ended up giving my MVP to Buddy Hield because of the jump that he made this year. I thought he was fabulous, one of the most exciting pieces of this Kings team, and he got a lot of attention from around the league, not just here in Sacramento. And the transition of the conversation with him went from at the beginning of the year, is he a starter in the NBA or is he a perennial sixth man, to can he average close to 30 points a night, and can he be one of the best shooters in the NBA? Can you share a little bit about what you saw from Buddy Hield this year? Because I know you've seen him in the practice facility. I know he has that reputation of being a gym rat. He put in a lot of work, and I was almost more impressed by his ability to grab offensive rebounds and get put back tips and put back dunks than I was with his ability to just shoot from anywhere on the floor.
Well, that's one of the things that makes Buddy Bucket so exciting to watch. I mean, he is a gym rat. He loves to be on the floor. He loves to shoot the basketball, and he has proved that he is an elite shooter, in my mind, in today's NBA game. So much focus now on, you know, the long-distance three-point shot. And it's not just the fact that he's an excellent deep perimeter shooter. I love the way he moves without the basketball. I would love, you know, this is one of those deals where you wish you had a, what is it called, a pedometer on him so that you could track the amount of miles that he runs in the course of one game. Because so many times you'll see him, say, in the far corner, he'll work out on the deep left wing, and then he makes a pass, he circles underneath the basket along the baseline, and in the blink of an eye, he's in the right corner, and he's usually open, and he's waiting for a chance to shoot. And I really enjoy watching him because I know how much he enjoys the game. He kind of wears his emotions, you know, on his sleeve. And he's a guy, however, who's just so full of positivity, and he's fun to be around. And he can drive the coaching staff nuts on occasion because in mentioning what you were talking about, you know, trying to get rebounds, trying to get stick backs, sometimes on a release, his man is already headed up the floor and there's no defender to try to pick him up. So there's kind of a delicate balance on, okay, how much do you attack and become a rebounder and get second chance opportunities versus how much do I need to be back eliminating transition opportunities for my opponent? So I think there's a bit of a trade-off in that respect. But certainly he's made strides defensively, and he's made huge strides in terms of his offensive output, to the point that, you know, we're no longer surprised for him having a 30-point game. And you say, you know, this could become a fairly regular part of what we get from Buddy Hield on a nightly basis.
One of the most fascinating parts about this Kings team to me, G, was the fact that they were able to continuously develop a crop of talent. It wasn't just one or two guys. It was a bunch of young players that you could say were better on game 82 than they were on game one. And nobody shows that more, in my opinion, than Marvin Bagley. And there are two calls of yours when it comes to Marvin Bagley that I play on loop and I'll always go to if I need to pick me up. The first was, of course, his dunk in the California Classic against the Lakers to really welcome him to Sacramento. And that was just such a cool environment and a fun thing to experience in July of all times. But then it was his 180 dunk, and I had the privilege of being able to sit next to you. I was doing stats for you against the San Antonio Spurs, where he caught the ball in front of him. The rim was behind his head, and he turned completely around and threw it down. You had a fantastic call of that. I put it on last week's podcast, on Friday's podcast, with some of the greatest calls and greatest moments of the year. But Marvin Bagley, the player that he was from game one all the way to game 82, to me is completely different and almost astounding, and makes me extremely excited to see what he can be two or three years from now, because it feels like he's just scratching the surface.
No question, he's just scratching the surface. He's very, very young. There's no doubt about that. He's, what, 20 years old? And, you know, he's got a year now under his belt of playing at the NBA level. And there are a couple of things that you enjoy about what he brings to the floor. I love the way he was able to respond after a couple of stretches of injury that had him sidelined for a handful of games two different times over the course of the season. And each time he came back and he continued to impress. And I think that from what I gather from the coaching staff in the past is that he's a quick study, that he's a sponge. He wants to excel in a very difficult game at a very high level. And you mentioned a couple of those dunks of his, and yes, dunks get us all kind of cranked up at different times, but that one in the middle of the season against San Antonio was so extraordinary. To be able to have your back to the basket, catch the ball, turn, and in one motion, in almost a double pump motion, rip that ball down before you start to come down to the floor, it was just, and I think the expression I used on that particular call was eye-popping, mm-hmm. jaw-dropping. It was both of those, and it's just something that you don't see on a regular basis in the NBA. So he's proved, you know, that he has extraordinary skills. He has amazing athleticism, and as we mentioned, he's only 20 years of age. He is so explosive with his second jump and so quick with that second jump that sometimes it goes almost unnoticed, and you begin to kind of take it for granted. But, Matt, I think the thing that maybe impressed me the most, because I found myself commenting on this multiple times over the course of the season, he comes into the game off the bench, and it seems like he's only been out there 3 or 4 minutes, and you look over at the computer and the stats monitor, and you see that he's already scored 9 points and he's got 4 boards. And he's done that in the first 3 or 4 minutes that he's on the floor. And it's just like, how in the world is he doing this? How is this young man coming in here and making this kind of a contribution so quickly when he enters a game? And I found that to be a bit fascinating and certainly encouraging. And how many different times over the course of the season would you say, wow, there's your future, Sacramento Kings fans, when you'd see him and Harry Giles, the two rookies last season, teaming up with, you know, great plays, Harry with his amazing skills for passing. It just makes your innards smile and you say, yeah, there is a great future ahead for not only these guys, but for Sacramento Kings fans as beneficiaries.
Do you feel that the Kings made a mistake not starting Marvin Bagley consistently through this season, and that was a mistake by head coach Dave Yeager, or do you understand why he made that move, and were you okay with Marvin Bagley getting those minutes and getting those numbers off of the bench?
I was absolutely fine with it. And it goes back to that cliche we were talking about a bit earlier, the process. How many times have we seen young players, for whatever reason, and there are different circumstances with every team and with every roster and with every season that dictate who starts, who comes off the bench. But sometimes you'll see a young player get a starting role and maybe not fully appreciate the accomplishment or what is involved in that. And then you, for whatever reason, the performance begins to tail off or fall off as they get more advanced into their career. I don't know if there's a correlation, but I do know that I think you earn playing time, you earn respect. This kid's got extraordinary skills and talent, and I think that there's a hunger that goes with wanting to be on that floor and to be able to make a contribution. And for him to make the contributions that he did as such a young player in the NBA is something that we haven't seen with the Sacramento Kings in quite a while. He ends up averaging nearly 15 points and 7.5 rebounds or so. And, you know, he knocks down an occasional three, loves to shoot it. And I just think that there's so much room for growth on what we're seeing already as a very strong foundation.
Another thing we haven't seen for quite some time from the Sacramento Kings, G-Man, is them being an aggressive buyer at the trade deadline. They were in the hunt trying to catch the Los Angeles Clippers, ended up acquiring Harrison Barnes and a couple other minor pieces, and I was very thrilled with the move, very pleased with the move. Unfortunately, it didn't end up working out, but that's not Harrison Barnes' fault by any means. He has a player option going into next year. The Kings have also rumored to be interested in trying to just extend him and sign him to a longer-term deal. I'm not sure if you saw, the Kings put out an article of, I believe Harrison Barnes went to India, if I'm not mistaken, and
right.
He's quoted in the article of saying he wants to get used to the culture if he's going to be around a while, or that's not an exact quote, but it sounded like he was speaking with the idea that he was going to be a King for a good period of time. Are you okay and excited by that concept of having Harrison Barnes as your starting small forward consistently for the next few years?
I'm more than okay with it. I think that absolutely, if the Kings are to continue their growth pattern, Harrison Barnes is going to be one of the key reasons. And I look at, you know, he comes in and he's kind of a quiet, he's not an elderly statesman because he's only, 26 years old. But he came in and he got comfortable. He started to learn his teammates' game. You saw his productivity continue to increase in the final weeks of the season as he became more comfortable. And I like everything that I've seen from Harrison Barnes. I've liked. I've been impressed with his demeanor. I've been impressed with his contributions on the floor. Yes, I think that the Kings very definitely, and you know, in my conversations in the past with Vlade Divac, I don't think there's any doubt whatsoever. Vlade sees Harrison Barnes as being a huge factor in the ongoing seasons for the Sacramento Kings. And I'm sure that the Kings organization will do everything in their power to make Harrison Barnes a long-term signee.
Final thing for you, G-Man. We've lacked stability for quite a long time here in Sacramento, which is why I was so thrilled to see the Kings extend Vlade Divac through the 2022 season for the next 4 years. Unfortunately, a move that I didn't necessarily 100% agree with, them moving on from head coach Dave Yeager and that coaching staff, but it's very unique in the sense that a lot of times when coaches are fired, it's because they have failed or they didn't do what the was expected of them with their job in the NBA, and I think that's not true at all for head coach Dave Yeager, who was brought in to be a developmental coach. And he coached this team to 39 wins, the best season since 2005-2006. And that's not just him. That's his entire coaching staff as well, which I've been beyond impressed with. Can you speak a little bit about just what head coach Dave Yeager, the culture that he brought to this team, to this locker room, and how much of a success he was here in Sacramento, even though he was let go before his contract ran out?
Yeah, 3 years and sustained growth. And in the first couple of, you know, first years plus of that, you had a bit of a major shakeup with the trade of DeMarcus Cousins. And so you were asking Yeager and the coaching staff to kind of turn the ocean liner around 180 degrees after the trade of DeMarcus Cousins. And I applaud what they were able to accomplish. And certainly, you know, over a 3-year period, you get to know these individuals on a fairly solid basis. And I have the utmost respect not only for what Dave Yeager did, but what his assistant coaches did. And I'm, you know, I am hopeful, and maybe I'm naive in hoping that maybe a couple of members of that coaching staff will continue to be on the Kings staff in the future with Luke Walton. I wait anxiously to see how that all transpires or what happens. But they're good individuals. They're good teachers. And you go right down the line, and I think about Elston Turner, who, of course, spent years here in the Rick Adelman era and the success that the Kings enjoyed in probably their best years in their now 35 years of existence. But, you know, Brian Gates and Dwayne Tickner and Bob Thornton and Jason March and Larry Lewis and Bobby Jackson and Phil Ricci. I mean, you just go down the line. Every one of these guys, quality guys in my mind. And I hope there's a place for some of them somehow in the future. If not, I'll look forward to having an opportunity to run into them wherever our travels may take us in seasons ahead with the Sacramento Kings.
G-Man, thank you so much for taking the time coming back on the podcast. It was an absolute pleasure. Enjoy your off season. Hopefully at this time next year, you'll be calling some Sacramento Kings playoff basketball. We'll keep our fingers crossed with that. And hey, look forward to having you calling some summer games in July with the California Classic coming back to Sacramento.
Well, the California Classic was a huge success last season. No reason to believe it won't be another huge success come the 1st of July. We look forward to that. Matt, thank you for the work that you do for the Kings and the Locked On Project. And it's just, keep that optimism flowing, brother. And let's look forward to training camp. And, you know, we're going to have a couple of preseason games you alluded to. Harrison Barnes talking about in India against the Indiana Pacers. And we'll be off and running before you know it. So hopefully good things ahead.
Huge thank you to the G-Man for spending the time here with me this morning on the Locked On Kings podcast. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. It's really a treat to be able to speak with him and to have him on. He just has so much wisdom, so much charisma, and is just such a kind guy and a great basketball mind that he's always willing to do stuff like this. And he just loves the game of basketball. And every time you have a conversation with him, that just you can feel that. It radiates off him how much he loves this game, how much he appreciates this game, and how he would not trade his job for any other job in the NBA, even though the Kings have the longest playoff drought in the NBA. So huge thank you again to him for taking the time to come on. We'll certainly try and have him back on here as we get close maybe to the start of next season or early on in next season. He's always very gracious with his time, so we'll have him on again in the future. If you have not listened to last week's episode on Friday, the great calls of G-Man's season this year and just some of the greatest moments from the Kings season, I highly encourage you to go and check that out so you can really hear G-Man at his absolute best in action. It's been a fantastic year. It's been a fun year. And like we just talked about over the last 20 minutes or so, there's so much to be excited about. Still a lot of work to be done. A lot of expectations now going into next season, but it's a good place to be at rather than in the cellar of the Western Conference, just hoping that maybe they can win 25 to 30 games next year. I think we all know that they can do that. Now, can we break the 40-win mark? And most importantly, can the Kings finally make their way into the postseason? We'll just have to wait and see. It's going to be an exciting summer, and you can keep it right here with us all summer long. If you have any questions, comments, anything that you would like to talk about in regards to Kings basketball, reach out to me on Twitter at MattGeorgeKHDK, or you can email me at any time, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. And it can be anything, questions, like I mentioned, any comments that you have about the Kings, things you would like to see the Kings to do. If you just want to share your takes or share your feedback from my conversation with the G-Man, please send it to me. I always will read it, and I'll do my best to respond to every single person that sends stuff in. Until next time, my name is Matt George. Thank you so much for listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.